This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS. Just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode. And if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. Hey everyone, I just want to take a moment out to thank one of the partners that we have that makes this show possible, WP Engine. You know, back in the days of dial-up, people would wait for websites to load, but attention spans are shorter than ever. Did you know that the average attention span has dropped to a mere 8 seconds? And for reference, the average attention span of a goldfish is only 9 seconds. So you only have a short period of time to hook people on your website, and if half that time is spent waiting for the page to load, you are sure to lose customers. Beyond that, what do you do when your website goes down? Who do you call? Well, today's best businesses are running websites that load quickly and have virtually no downtime. In the event something does go wrong, the best businesses are back up and running in no time. That's why the best businesses trust WP Engine for hosting. If you're running a WordPress site like nearly 20% of the entire web, you owe it to yourself to upgrade your hosting to WP Engine. It's fast, it's secure, and their support is amazing. We use WP Engine at True Voice Media, and over the next 18 months, we're planning to move every single one of our sites to WP Engine. That's how good it is. Right now, WP Engine is offering 2 months free when you prepay for the entire year. And when you get to the site, look along the top of the page for additional discounts and offers. Go to truevoicemedia.com/hosting to learn more about the best damn WordPress hosting on the web. This is episode 48. Episode 48, and I am here with Jeremy Reeves. Jeremy, it is great to have you on the podcast. And why don't you tell the people that are listening a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what your favorite flavor of ice cream is.
I like that last part. Yeah. My name is Jeremy Reeves, obviously, as you just said, and I'm a direct response copywriter, and we specialize in building marketing funnels. So kind of taking people from, you know, point A to point B, from where they've never heard about you until they become a client or a customer, and doing that in automated ways, mostly, at least in 98% of cases, it's automated, at least. Then there's some advanced stuff that's kind of half automated, but that's pretty much what I do, and we'll get into all that as we chat. And favorite flavor of ice cream. Oh man, it's a mix between chocolate peanut butter and chocolate mint chip. Oh man, I'm trying to go back and forth in my mind about which one. I would say probably chocolate peanut butter would be the one that takes the cake.
Well, upon the recording of this episode, you're going to be in Philadelphia, so I would strongly suggest that you find your way to Capogiro for the world's best gelato, and I'm sure they'll have at least one of those flavors.
Nice.
Yeah, it's worth doing. So you're a direct response copywriter. First of all, I want to define that for people that are listening, because some of the people that listen to this show are a little bit more on the advanced side, some are a little bit more on the novice side, and there's kind of everywhere in between. And I think there's this idea that there's marketing and there's sales, and the nuance of it kind of gets lost a little bit. I'm familiar with direct response. Can you define direct response for the people that are listening so that they have a really easy understanding of what you mean by that?
Yeah, so direct response, I mean, if you put it really simply, it's basically just, there's kind of like brand advertising and then direct response advertising. Brand advertising is the thing that doesn't work. that's when you kind of just do, you know, you spend your money and you have no idea if you're actually getting a return on that money. You kind of just put ads out there, you don't track it, you have no clue. You know, you might spend $5,000 on a newspaper ad or something like that, and you know, you have no idea if you actually made money on that ad. Whereas direct response is, you know, you put that ad out there, you spend, you know, $1,000, and you know exactly how much money you made from that because you're tracking everything, you know. So I mean, that's kind of like my very basic definition of it. It's just, you know, being able to track your ads and writing in a way that actually leads people to a sale versus just sounding kind of pretty and fluffy and, you know, little rainbows and fairies.
So there's a lot of paths we can go down here, and I want to just start at the very top, which is that the comment about brand advertising is the stuff that doesn't work. So I want to give an example of it, but I also want to play with that a little bit. That you know, I think a good example would be everybody's seen a Coca-Cola billboard or commercial, and there's no call to action on it. It's just to reinforce Coca-Cola. And if you go and buy a Coca-Cola as a result of seeing it, that red triggers in your mind the sweet, cold, delicious bubbliness of a Coca-Cola, or even me saying it right now, that is an untrackable type of advertising.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that can argue that brand advertising is useless, and some that would argue that it's extremely useful. We'll go down that path in a second. Can you give a quick example of what a direct response ad might look like by comparison to the Coca-Cola example I just gave?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and actually, I actually think that branding is definitely has its place in direct response marketing, but it's kind of just done in a little bit different of a way. So a good example is I'm actually setting up as we speak. I have an AdWords campaign that's running for generating leads for my business, right? So I can look and get reports, and it shows me, okay, you know, last month you spent $5,000, and then, you know, that you got X amount of leads, so just say whatever, 100 leads, and, you know, that means that you're paying $50 per lead, right? And then I know in my head how many leads it takes to become a client on average, you know, whether that's 5 or 10 or, you know, whatever. And so I can then look and I can say, okay, last month I spent $5,000. I can go and actually look through the leads that I got and say, okay, did any of them become clients? And then, okay, well, three of those became clients and I made $30,000, which means this is working, you know? Or I can look at it and say, okay, I spent $5,000 and I got, you know, only 10 leads and none of them became clients, in which case this isn't working. So that's, and you can do that with, I mean, you can do it with anything. You can do that with AdWords, anything online. It's very, very easy to track that stuff. Even if you're doing offline, you can do, like if you have people calling, you know, you can set up different phone numbers and track those phone numbers, you know. So if you have two ads that you're testing in, you know, two different newspapers, you can have one ad going to one phone number, another ad going to another phone number, and then you just look at your reports and say, okay, well, we got 100 calls on this one, we only got 50 on this one, and you can, you know, you can just track and test everything. And you know, the big thing with it is, number one, the way that you write your copy is designed to actually get a sale, you know, in the shortest amount of time possible. So you actually make more sales. And then the second part of it is, and this really just goes back to kind of making you feel better about it and also having cash flow available so you don't run out of cash. You can actually look at everything, whether it's online or offline, and say, okay, we spent X dollars and we made X dollars, you know, times whatever. So then you actually know what in your marketing is working and what's not. So you just do more of what's working and, you know, none of what's not working.
So is the big idea behind direct response then in your mind just really the availability of a call to action that's measurable?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much, and there's a lot more to it. I mean, we could talk about copywriting for days and days and days about all the, you know, all the secrets and strategies and, you know, tricks for writing good copy and all that. But yeah, I mean, if you really just broke down direct response down to like its core essence, I think it's just the ability to track, you know, what you're doing and have an actual call to action, which then of course allows you to track, you know. Yeah, I think that's kind of the simplest definition of it.
All right, good stuff. So for those that are listening that didn't know what direct response is, now you should have some idea of what direct response marketing is. So let's dive a little bit deeper into it. You know, at the highest level, obviously you can't just do direct response, because if you're just hitting people with sales offer after sales offer after sales offer, no matter how good they are, eventually people get a little bit turned off, and there has to be a place for, you know, raising awareness prior to asking for the sale. But when we get to that point where we're starting to build our sales funnel, how do you go about designing a sales funnel? What's your approach when you come in to speak to a new client and they sit you down and they say, hey, you know, we need to generate more leads and more sales? What's your starting point? What's the first question you ask them?
Yeah, the first question is, who's your audience? That's definitely the first place to start with anything, you know. And I actually have, you know, most people that I talk to are in, well, there's kind of two different crowds. But yeah, I mean, if you're starting from the beginning, the first thing you have to start with is understanding. On one side, you have to really, really, really understand exactly who your target audience is, you know, who you're actually trying to get to do business with you. The more that you understand who you're talking to, the more sales you're going to make. That's, you know, just a plain fact. And the reason for that is because the more you truly understand the person that you're talking to, the better you can communicate with them. You know, it's kind of like, think if you were a personal trainer and you had a room and you had two people, or you had a room of mixed people and you had young, you had old, you had 10 pounds overweight, you had 100 pounds overweight, you had males, females, you had people, you had bodybuilders in there, you had people doing gymnastics, you know, the way that you talk to them, it's going to be it's going to be a really hard sell getting them in your program because you're talking to all these different people versus, let's just say that you were a personal trainer for women over 40, and you know, then you can talk to them, and you can talk to them about, you know, the struggles of of like weight that women go through, and how it affects them emotionally, and how, you know, they hate the fact that you know, guys used to give them double takes as they walk past them, and they haven't done that in the last 10 years, and you know, how they have jeans in their closet that they haven't been able to wear in 10 years, and how, you know, you go in and then you start resonating with them, and it's like, look, it's not your fault. You know, it's, you know, you're over 40 now, your hormones are changing, your metabolism is slowing down, your, you know, your activity in your life is kind of slowing down, and, you know, you can't just keep weight off like you used to, and it's not your fault. It's just, that's kind of how things go, but you have to understand all the kind of things happening in your body and kind of counterbalance them, you know, with our, you know, unique personal training tips and all that kind of stuff. So you can see the difference in how you would talk to people. You know, the more specific you are, the more you understand your audience, and the more kind of target of an audience you have, the more closely you can talk to them. So you always start with the audience.
And then, I want to pause you right there and just dig a little bit deeper into, but also offer up something. So one of the things I offer on my website that I do when I meet with clients, and that's one of our first questions too. Who are you trying to reach? What do you want them to know? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to accomplish? So, you know, in the scenario I painted, I gave you the goal, but the first question would probably be, what's your goal? Then it would be, who's your audience? So we do something similar. And on my website, I offer this thing that's called Target Audience Mad Libs. And I put it through so people can kind of just put it, it's, you know, obviously it's kind of, very high level. It's not the nuance you would get into if you were talking with someone, but we put that together. But I'd imagine your next step, and I want to kind of try and predict where you're going to go with this, because a lot of the direct response copywriters that I've spoken to are people that are in the industry of selling products and things like that. One of their biggest tips is to really understand the exact language that people are using.
Yep.
So is that something that you were going to get to?
Yeah, yeah, and that's actually part of understanding the audience. And there's actually a really quick tip to be able to do that. By the way, is just go to Amazon. You know, this is what we do. Every client that comes on, this is part of our, we have like a 70 plus step process for doing the research. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we do is we go to Amazon and just go in and think about, you know, everybody listening to this, think about your audience, think about what they're looking for, what kind of information they're looking for. So for example, you know, if you're a personal trainer, they're looking for weight loss information. If you're a financial advisor, they're looking for, you know, ways to, you know, save money and save for retirement, that kind of stuff. So just think of what types of books they would be searching for. Go in, you know, put that into the little search bar in Amazon and pull up one of the, you know, the top book or the second book or whatever it is, the one with the most reviews you're looking for. Then you go through and you look through the reviews, and you're looking for 1- and 2-star reviews, and then you're also looking for 4- and 5-star reviews because you're looking for kind of the opposite ends of the spectrum. You're looking for the people that are the most emotionally engaged, I guess you can say, on both ends of the, you know, of the ledger. Mm-hmm. And so what you do is you go through it once and you look, so you're going to do this kind of twice. You go through it once and you're looking for all the frustrations that people are having, all of the, you know, the pain points that they're having. So they're going to tell you about how, like I was saying before, how, you know, they're, and this is, of course, is a weight loss example, but I usually do weight loss examples just, they're very easy to kind of understand and kind of apply to your business. So, you know, they're going to, you're going to go and read about people, you know, they used to be able to get in jeans and it kills them that they won't get past their hips. And, you know, they don't have as much energy anymore and they don't feel sexy anymore. And, you know, all these different things, all these, like, you can feel the emotion pouring out of these people.
Yep.
And it's, you know, and it's true. And this happens in every market. So you do, you know, have a document, you know, we have a document, frustrations, we list them all out, benefits, we list them all out, all that stuff. So have a document, look for the frustrations, the big pain points in your market. And also, as you're doing that, copy and paste actual sentences. We do that a lot. We'll actually copy and paste sentences from Amazon and from forums and from, you know, magazine articles, like comments and, you know, like comments on blog posts and things like that. And we'll actually use those, like, I mean, like almost word for word in our sales copy, you know, because that's coming from somebody that's your kind of ideal prospect that you're reaching out to, you know. Mm-hmm. So then you go back a second time and then you're looking for all the positive things. So you're looking for the benefits, and really the benefits and the transformations, you know. So on one end, you're looking for the frustrations and pain points. Then you go back and do it a second time. And this time you have your kind of mental filter looking for the benefits that people got out of it after they, like, kind of, you know, the transformation that happened to them. And it's usually an internal thing. It's usually an emotional thing. That's really what sells, you know. If you can engage people emotionally and talk to them about the frustrations and problems that they're having, and then clearly show them that your solution is going to help them achieve the benefit, you know, which is basically solving the problem, then, I mean, you win every time, you know. There's a quote kind of in the copywriter world that, you know, he who understands his prospects the most and can engage with them like more deeply wins, you know, and it's true. So go through Amazon reviews and look again for the frustrations and pain points, and then go back and look a second time for the benefits and the transformations. And then what you do with that information is just make sure that that's all in your copy, you know, so in your emails, on your pages, you're talking about all those different things.
Got it. So this is the research phase of knowing your audience. You're looking at what's their pain points, what are the things that they're looking for and their transformations they're seeking. And you capture all that together. And now you've got all this information. You've gathered up some information about your audience. And now you want to try and capture people's leads that are having those frustrations and want those benefits or transformations. Mm-hmm. So in terms of your next steps and maybe just from your philosophy of building sales funnels, you know, I want your thoughts on a couple of different things, you know, short form copy versus long form copy, you know, asking questions versus making declarative statements, any of that. Are those things that you kind of read the signs of the terrain, or is there kind of a general best practice that you tend to follow because you find that it works really well?
Yeah. So the short copy versus long copy is that's been, you know, that's an age old debate. but so the answer to that is really neither, right? Don't think of it in terms of length or pages or anything like that. It really comes down to giving them everything they need to be able to overcome their objections and get them in the right frame of mind to buy your product. That might only take three sentences. It might take one sentence, or it might take 20 pages. I just wrote a 20-page sales letter for a supplement. And, you know, so look at it in terms of, and you know, and that's why it's really helpful if you're going to be sitting down and writing, you know, a sales page or something to sell, whatever it is that you do, to actually write out all of the benefits and all of the objections that people are having, because, you know, you then write the page, and by the time you can overcome all of the the objections that they might be having and thinking as they're reading it and showcase all of the benefits of your solution, then it's basically time to say, okay, now it's time to buy, you know. Then you kind of just ask them for the sale, you know. And again, it might only be like if you're selling something for, you know, a pack of gum, right? You don't need 10 pages of copy. I don't even know what you'd write about, you know. A pack of gum, it's kind of like, hey, you know, is your mouth dry? Here's a pack of gum. Mm-hmm. You know, do you are you bored of drinking water all day? You know, chew this while you're drinking water, and it, you know, and it kind of, it's like, you know, it's like having a soda, but you don't have to get all the calories in you, you know. And it's a very, very easy sell versus something that's, you know, if it's the more complex it is, So for example, that supplement we just wrote, it's for guys dealing with erectile dysfunction, right? So that's a pretty sensitive subject, right? It's something that, you know, if guys are dealing with that, they're very, very, very emotional. And you have to first, you know, and for obvious reasons, and you have to first, you know, engage with them on an emotional level because you have to get them to trust you, right? And this isn't done in like some kind of like sleazy, sneaky way. You know, you actually have something that's going to help them, right? So you basically start off by engaging with them, resonating with them on the frustration that they're having, you know, showing empathy. That's kind of the big key here is showing empathy, showing them that you understand what they're going through. And then you, in this case, what we did was, and there's different ways to do it, but in this case, what we did was we showed them why, you know, a couple of reasons why it might be happening. And then we went through basically how to, you know, correct the imbalances in your inner body that are causing, you know, the dysfunction. And then you go into why, you know, other supplements, other like, you know, competitor supplements aren't working, why this one works better. You went to the guarantee, like all the risk reversal stuff. You know, in this one, we had a double your money back guarantee, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you basically just lead them down the path. You start with engaging with them, you know, showing empathy that you understand the situation they're going through, and then start leading them down to, okay, well, you know, here's why it's happening. Here's how to fix it. And, oh, you know, by the way, that's exactly what our product does. Here's why it's better. You know, here's why the price is, you know, basically negligible. Here's, and, you know, just in case you're worried about the price, here's a guarantee to make sure that there's no risk on you. And then, you know, and then they can buy.
Got it.
That's kind of, yeah.
So is that, you know, that it's this whole world is very fascinating to me because I'm completely obsessed with online products and the idea of passive income products and automation. So one, I'm just enjoying the conversation, having someone like yourself who has so much experience in this. But I want to poke at it because I need to better understand it.
Sure.
So you laid out a really interesting set of steps here. And whenever I'm trying to help a client put together a sales page, or I'm advising them, or I'm looking at what they're doing, or I'm looking at different products, I'm always trying to break down if there's a certain flow that's commonly used. Like, where on the page should testimonials go? Where should the list of features and benefits go? Where should the, you know, maybe the modules of the course go? Where should the point where you say, I get what you're going through, or describing the problem? Do you have a certain way that you do that and you find has been very, very successful? Or is it the sort of thing where, depending upon how many of these factors you actually have, how many of these things you can include, you have to kind of read the terrain and determine what to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there's kind of a general structure, which I kind of just went over.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you started with empathy, which to me sounds like, okay, you got to hook them early. You got to make sure that you're explaining to them that I get you. I get what you're going through. Then you provide some information, right? And then you're talking about how to actually corrective. So you're providing some value. And then within there, you kind of make them feel better about that. And that to me, you know, I've read a couple books on the art of the pitch and how, you know, various ways about going about selling. And you know, we go back to how you're talking about Amazon and pulling out the frustration and pain points. I guess the question is, you know, I know you just went over the flow of it, but this seems like a very good flow. Is this kind of one of the more standard ones, or are there ways that pitfalls that people could fall into even using the structure?
Yeah, it's one of those things where that's kind of the, you know, the general rule of thumb, but rules can be broken. You know, it's one of those things. So for example, one thing, you know, and that's a good, like, if you've never written copy, if you, you know, whatever, like you're not an experienced copywriter and you don't have the funds to actually hire somebody, it is good, like it's at least a start to just go out and look, you know, whatever sales page template or something like that, and at least get some kind of general idea. But then where, you know, it's kind of like anything else. You always start with kind of a basic, you know, layout of how to do something, whether it's, you know, lifting weights or, you know, writing copy or sales or, you know, building a house or, you know, whatever it is. There's always like some kind of basic formula to start with. And then you can change it once you kind of have enough experience to be able to change it and have with at least, you know, predictable accuracy, you know, change things around. So, for example, you know, if people are farther along in the sales cycle, you know, if you're selling something for, so actually, for example, you know, one thing that I recently wrote was to buyers, right? It was not a customer acquisition product at all. It was only shown to people that were already buyers, of this company. So in that case, you don't have to get in quite as much into the empathy and like all that kind of stuff. You can make the sale a little bit shorter because you've already gained their trust. They're already a customer, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's like one of the things like you can, you know, yeah, you can do good with that, you know, that kind of template that I just laid out. But you can also kind of break the rules in certain cases like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I'd imagine if your audience, and this comes back to knowing your audience, if you have a more analytical or a more emotional audience, you would tweak your copy accordingly.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So again, the value of knowing your audience. Well, let me ask you this. So I want to see what you think about this. There's been some chatter recently, and there's a lot of different perspectives on this, but that the sales funnel is dead. I don't believe that, but I believed it's changed. But I want to get your opinion on it because, you know, a traditional sales funnel kind of seems to assume that things operate in a vacuum, that people become aware, then they become interested, then they want it, and then they take an action. So it's very like, all things being equal. And then you think about the buyers are going through a very like vanilla kind of journey in a lot of the way that these sales funnels are painted. But we all know that the world has become very complex. Now people are learning about things on maybe Twitter, and then maybe they hear about it on Facebook. And even if you only put out an email, people may have learned about it on Pinterest or YouTube because things are just now spreading in ways that we cannot predict nor can we measure. So, you know, when we talked at the beginning about the difference between brand advertising and direct response advertising, I think sometimes direct response advertising can become brand advertising by way of the message kind of filtering out into the world. How do you feel that the sales funnel looks today, given that there are so many channels and there are so many of them that you can't even measure? How do you account for that? How do you build for that? And what are your thoughts on the sales funnel being dead?
That's a really, really, really good question. And it's like multi faceted. So I'll try to kind of encompass as much as I can.
Yeah. Just riff on it. You know,
yeah, we can probably think about a whole podcast just on that.
Yeah.
So I do agree, in a sense that people typically don't just hear about you and then it's like, oh, I got an email. Okay. Now I'm going to buy, you know, it's not that linear usually. In a lot of cases it is, but because of all the different channels out there, because, you know, there's social media, there's, you know, you can go on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, you know, all these different things. In my view, you have to wrap all those into your sales funnel. I think that's what a lot of people are missing, is that they're not creating a spider web, if you will, you know. So think of all the different ways that you market. Maybe you have a Facebook page, maybe you have a Twitter account, maybe you have Instagram, plus you have email, your website, and a podcast, right? So imagine that's like all of the marketing that you're doing. All of those should be kind of pushing people back into your email. You know, they should all be designed to get people onto your email list. That's kind of like the main hub that you're going to use, right? That's like, if you imagine a spider web, that's the middle of the spider web is your email. Because email is where you can build a relationship. And then also, you know, you get like, say somebody finds you on Facebook. Well, if you're pushing them to your email, then you can follow up with them on email. You can give them links to all your products. You can build a relationship with them via email, also on Facebook. But then also you can use email to push people out to your podcast, out to your, what did I say already, Facebook. So, you know, Instagram page or whatever it is, like your other marketing channels. So they kind of see, you know, they're going to self-select their own path. You know what I mean? So if one day, you know, they open your email and you're talking to them, maybe you tell a story and you kind of transition that story into something of value that's going to help them solve whatever problem they're dealing with. And then you have a little, you know, a link to your product or your service or whatever you're selling. Then they have that option to go that route, or they might just read it, and that kind of gives you another dollar in the bank of trust, you know, if you will. And then, you know, maybe the next day they see an Instagram post, and, you know, that again adds, just like you're looking for these little like spurts of value which build trust. And then, but the big thing with email is that's going to usually be the place where you're going to get the right timing, right? And that's a really, really big key here is timing. You know, there have been a million times in my life, I know, that I'm like, oh yeah, I know I have to buy this product from this, you know, from this dude. And it's like, all right, no, I know I still have to buy it. And then a month later, oh, I still have to buy it. And then, you know, 2 months later I get an email and it's okay. Now I really need to buy this thing now and just buy it, you know, and that happens all the time. Trying to think of other ways to, kind of wrap around that. But yeah, I mean, and also one other thing is, a lot of people that say that funnels are dead, they're only thinking in terms of that linear path. There's like, you know, an opt-in page and then a sales page and then an email, you know, the kind of that like straight path. What you need to be doing now, and it's one of the most powerful ways to market your business these days is through segmentation. You know, all of the, and I've been doing this since like 2010 probably. I have a client in 2010, 2011, that they came to me and, he had an email list and he kind of had like three kind of different segments of his audience, that like had three main products and services that he had. And then like he basically had an information product, a service, and then a franchise. And, there were different traits of different people that he found that would most likely end up in one of those three kind of buckets. So we split them up and, you know, push them down the right path that they should be going on and increased his results, with that, you know, with that campaign by 270%, which is insane, you know, obviously, same, you know, same ad spend, same everything else, 270% more money for the exact same ad spend. So, you know, that's like a lot of the people that I've seen that are saying, oh, you know, funnels are dead and blah, blah, blah. They're just not really thinking about it in terms of integrating all of their marketing to be like that spider web, you know? And that even goes with, you know, segmentation. There are so many different things you can do with segmentation now. It's, you know, crazy. So for example, you can, in your sales funnel, you can do a thing called retargeting. So if people hit a certain page, if they're on your list or if they're not on your list even, and they hit a certain page, well, then you can follow them around with ads based on that specific thing that they were just looking at. You know, it's kind of like actually this morning, actually, it happened. I went and I'm going to rent a new direct mail list for a new direct mail campaign I'm doing. So I went to what was the company? Not AccuMark, InfoUSA. So I went and I logged in, right? And I was looking at lists and I got distracted and went and did something else. And then I got a call from them like 15 minutes later saying, hey, you know, I noticed you were kind of just on the site. Just let me know if you have any questions. I'm happy to help you through the process, blah, blah, blah. And I'm actually going to, I actually wrote it down in my calendar. I'm going to call them back on Monday. You know, that's one of the things that you could do because a lot of the reason that people are in your funnel but not buying is because of timing, because they're getting distracted, you know, that kind of thing. So you can actually make these little trigger points, you know, so that when people take certain actions, then you lead them down that path. You know what I mean? If that kind of makes sense, that's when you wrap them up in the cocoon, going back to the spider web, example. So you can do retargeting ads. I have one thing on my site where if people are on my list and they visit one of my pages, it kind of does the same thing as the guy calling me, but it does it via email. So, it pauses all their prospect campaigns that they're on and it starts, it's called a funnel day. I have a service called the funnel day, basically like a consultation day. And, it pauses all the other campaigns that they're on at that moment and it starts the funnel day campaign. And it's only like three emails, but it's, you know, the first one is, hey, I just noticed you were on, you know, you were checking out funnel day, you know, you're interested in, did you have any questions? And then that then leads them to replying to the email and I get tons and tons of people. Oh yeah. You know, I was just wondering, you know, do I fly out to you? Do you fly out to me? You know, what are the kind of options for doing this? Blah, blah, blah. And then it starts a dialogue. And then, you know, that's a fairly high-end service that I have, you know. So then it starts the dialogue with the client, and then that leads to sales, you know. And there's so many different ways. Segmentation, again, is like a whole podcast in itself. You can do it based on interest. You can do it based on behavior, like we just talked about. You can do it based on You can kind of take triggers and find out what part of the buying cycle they're in, you know, and you can actually get that. Like if you're doing Facebook ads, the way that you word the ads, people that click on the ads, it kind of like shows you what part of the buying cycle they're in, you know. So if you're selling weight loss information, somebody downloading a smoothie recipe, you know, is the kind of like in the beginning stage of the buying cycle. Whereas if you're saying something about your personal training business and it's like, hey, you know, you're giving a coupon, you know, then they're obviously in that the later stage where they're actually, you know, pretty close to making a decision, you know. So you of course talk to them in different ways based on, what ad they clicked on. Those are just a couple different ways. I hope I answered the question. I know that
you definitely did. So here's right now, I'm just putting myself in the shoes of somebody listening to this. And I know that there's somebody listening to this right now. Yes, you, whoever's listening, I'm talking to you, that is feeling a little bit overwhelmed by this idea. So in my head, I can see this all very clearly. You have a website, you have a bunch of different pages based upon where people go. You trigger different campaigns. It'll send out a series of different emails. If they then come back and maybe say they click on, you know, 2 out of 5 of those, then you put them into a different thing that shows that they're a little bit more interested. They visit the career page, you take them off of that and you realize they're looking for a job. Got it all, totally get it. But here's what it looks like in my head is a giant mind map of all of these different trigger and action type things. And the person who's listening to this right now that thinks about that is so overwhelmed that the idea of setting up these email automation campaigns along with the triggers and actions, having to write all that copy, and at the same time trigger a bunch of different retargeting campaigns, which means they need creative and ad copy and all that, it's overwhelming. So I want to take this back to real basics. You're imagining right now that right now the only person that's listening to this is a small business owner or solopreneur, and they're thinking, oh my God, all this sounds great, but I'm totally overwhelmed by it. I just won't do anything. What's something that you can recommend that any small or medium-sized business can do tomorrow that would take them a few hours to set up, but that could help drive them a little bit of additional revenue or get them started on the path to building this bigger and better overwhelming system?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I actually have, and that's a very, very common, you know, thing, and for good reason, because it really does get complex if you make it complex. And I actually recommend people, I know we went into more of the advanced stuff, but when I'm first working with clients, depending on where they're at, so like, you know, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and they're already into the complex stuff. So obviously, I'm not going to go back to the, you know, the basics. But for most people, you know, I have basically three kind of various stages of a sales funnel. There's the foundational stage, the maximization stage, and the perfection stage, right? And so I'll go through them really quick, and then I'll focus on the foundational. So foundational is basically really nailing down your USP, having an opt-in page, a lead magnet, having one or two like core offers that you have, an upsell to that, which is, you know, usually based off the, you know, the core offer they have, and then some type of way to communicate with your buyers. And again, I'll come back to all this. The maximization is, you know, all that segmentation stuff, having a kind of a product suite rather than just one or two, going into kind of getting it ready for to scale it. Like, so, you know, so really understanding your metrics, you know, and then I'm trying to think. And that's the last one. Yeah, I'm already thinking of the third doing. So then stage three, perfection, is basically when you start doing a lot of testing and you're using the metrics that you figured out in, you know, the last stage to then scale the business, to, you know, to get paid traffic. And that's when you can say, okay, you know, for every dollar that we're spending, we're getting $3 back, you know, and then you kind of just self-fund your growth, you know. So those are like the three stages, but going back to the foundational to make everything really, really simple for everybody, right? First thing you have to do is, like, you know, going back to the beginning of this conversation, really nail exactly who your audience is. And then also, because a lot of people are saying know their audience. If you're too, and you'll know, if you're too broad, you know, start niching yourself, you know, start getting a little bit more specific in who you help, right? And then, but you have to kind of, you have to kind of connect that with the copy. So if you know in your head exactly who your audience is, but you're not articulating that in your copy, so then you have to look at the copy that you already have on your, and you know, mostly everybody listening is probably as a website. So start with your website. Look at your website and say, does this really sell what we're selling. You know, does it really get somebody to take action? You know, and then think in your head who you're serving, and are you really articulating all the value that you bring? You know, I can almost guarantee you that everybody listening to this, unless you're, you know, and even honestly, even my site isn't even doing it, because, you know, it's kind of like the cobbler's son has no shoes.
Yep, I run into it every day.
Yeah. and it's just, it's weird writing for yourself. That's one of the things I'm doing today is rewriting one of my own sales pages. And man, it is just tough.
It's exhausting because I can sit here and talk to just about anybody's business. And off the top of my head, I've got idea. Here's what you should do. Here's what you should do. Here's the copy. Here's this. And then I think to myself, like, okay, I should probably set up some automation campaigns. And I just freeze like a deer in headlights.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's so weird how that works, but I mean, it really does. And I'm a professional copywriter. We've gotten generated over $50 million in results for our clients. And then I'm sitting here and I can't even write my own sales letter. It's weird how it works. So if you have a problem with copy, understand, here's my empathy for you. And it's very genuine. Understand that that's very normal. So first stage is make sure that your copy on your website or whatever you use, whatever your main kind of marketing material is now, make sure that your copy on that is really, really good and is going to drive people to take action. The second step is you want to, think of all the things that, think back in your life and think of something that you wanted to buy and you're like, oh yeah, I should buy that. But you just didn't. For some reason, you look back like 6 months later and you're like, oh man, I never bought that thing. You forget about it. You get distracted. Everybody's really distracted. Attention is really hard to get these days. And then you have to have the attention and then be able to actually show them that whatever it is you sell is going to help them. So what you do is you just simply get people to raise their hands and tell you that they're interested in hearing more from you, right? That's all. And then that comes to an opt-in page and a lead magnet, right? You're just giving away something for free. It could be some kind of PDF. It could be a free video, could be a webinar. It could be a coupon. It could, there's so many different things that you can use. All you're doing, just again, think of your audience. It all comes back to your audience. Think of your audience. Think of the biggest pain point that they have and then put something together that fixes that pain point for them, right? So, going back to weight loss, you see all these things online and it's like, the 7 forbidden fruits to avoid for stubborn belly fat and like all these weird things. Most of them are total BS and they're just, it's kind of just clickbait. But give something of value. Here's another example for the campaign that I'm doing. People hiring copywriters, a lot of times, if they haven't hired a copywriter before, they look and they say, okay, who's the cheapest copywriter, right? It's all about price. Mm-hmm. Well, that is an enormous mistake. So I wrote a report called The High Cost of Cheap Copywriters, right? And I love that name. I love the play on words with that. And I've had it for, oh my God, probably like 4 or 5 years now. And, it walks them through because, these people are, they know that they need a copywriter, they're interested in it, and it's going to help them. And I'm very objective with it. I'm like that in my business. I don't want people to hire me if I'm not the best choice for them. This is one of my business philosophies. So that's how it is in the report. And I give them, what to look for when you're hiring a copywriter, what questions to ask, what their sample should look like, what experience they should have, all these different things that are going to help people in their decision to hire a copywriter, and you can do that in almost any industry, the consumer's guide to hiring a blank, there's your headline right there. And if you're selling a product, then it would be, something along the lines of, how to solve X problem in X number of days. That's always a good template. So how to lose 7 pounds in the next 7 days, and you give them, a quick, little kind of spurt to get them, quick results. And then you get them on your list, you're showing value, you're starting to gain that trust with them, right? And this is all very easy to do. I mean, these reports only have to be a couple pages. They don't have to be very long. And then, you know, and then that gets people onto your, so when they opt in, they go onto your email list, right? And then that way you can follow up with them. So then you're top of mind, you know, you can start building the relationship. You can tell them stories about yourself and then transition that into how, you know, that helps them, which is kind of an art form in its own, you know, but, you know, you're putting them on your email list so you can then follow up with them. You can add more value. If you have a podcast, you can send them links there. If you've written guest articles, you can send them links there. If people have interviewed you, you can send them links to that. You know, if you have anything that's going to help them, you're trying to create value and kind of simultaneously talk about how you can help them solve the main problem that they're facing. You know, that's really all an email sequence, you know, is that's kind of like the main point of it. So you have that. So basically, you know, you really nailed all your copy. You have them on your list now, and you're kind of building that relationship. Don't be salesy. Don't be like, you know, if people are listening to this, I always like to put this in there real quick. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, well, you know, I get these spammy emails and all they do is sell me every day and blah, blah, blah. If that's the case, and it probably is because, you know, a lot of people do that. That's just people doing it the wrong way, right? Don't think that that's how email should sound. That's just people doing it wrong, and that's all. So then you have, you know, your core offer, and everybody listening is probably already has, you know, unless you're like just starting and, you know, you haven't actually even sold anything yet. I think most people listening to this probably have some kind of core offer, some kind of, you know, like the main thing that you sell. So you have that. Again, look at the copy selling that. Make sure that's up to par. Then you want at least one additional offer, one upsell. So if you're selling products online, you would have an upsell where they, you know, they buy it, they go to the thank you page, they click whatever, order now or whatever. The next page then says, hey, thanks for ordering product A. Here's, you know, if you want better, faster, easier results, we also have this, you know, add-on, product B, and it's only, you know, an extra, whatever, $27 or, you know, however expensive it is. And, you know, you're really going to love it. And you'll get typically somewhere between, the conversion rates on these vary quite a bit, but like anywhere from, I don't know, 10 to 50% or so are going to buy that second offer, you know? So then if you're going back to the testing, if you're breaking even on that first product, but then you're getting 50% to buy another product, well, then that's all profit then from thereafter. So just start with, you know, one or two core offers. You know, the one is the main offer. The other one is kind of you're upselling them after they buy that first offer. And then the last part is just have a buyer sequence. You know, don't lose touch with your buyers. They're the gold in your business. And if you're doing this, you know, you might be kind of saying to yourself, oh, yeah, I really don't follow up my buyers as much as I should. Again, don't feel too bad. One of my clients I've been on a retainer with for about a year and a half now is a $30 million company. And they brought me on a year and a half ago to start putting buyer campaigns in because they didn't have any. And they're a $30 million company. So, you know, so don't feel too bad if that for some reason, you know, it's more exciting acquiring new customers than it is selling to existing customers. But all of the profit is in selling to your existing customers,
yep.
Right? So please don't, you know, neglect that. But also, if you don't have anything in place now, don't feel too bad because most businesses don't, which makes it easy for me because, you know, it's, you know, when someone comes to me and they're like, oh, we don't have anything for our buyers, it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to make you a ton of money and you're going to love me and refer me to like 10 people. So I love those clients.
Yeah, it works out. You get to start from scratch and you don't have you don't get a baseline to compare against, but your baseline to compare against is nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously it's working.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Well, I think the people that are listening to this episode have surely gotten a lot out of it and hopefully know a little bit more about sales funnels. But tell people where they can go and learn a little bit more about you and where they can be social with you and connect with you.
Definitely. So going back to the spider web, I'll give you kind of two pieces of it. Number one is my own podcast. So I have the Sales Funnel Mastery podcast. It's very similar to this, very conversational. I usually do like I'll do my own where I'm just talking every 1 week, and then the next week is a guest, and then the week after that is me talking again, you know, giving some kind of value. And then the week after that is, you know, another guest and that kind of thing. So it's a very kind of fun conversational type of thing.
I've been meaning to add those to mine as well. I have a whole bunch of them planned. I just haven't done them.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually went, I think my first 30 episodes was just me talking. So I've gotten pretty good at just talking to nothing, you know, just putting a mic in front of me and just saying go, and I just go, you know. So that's one thing. So if, you know, if you're on your phone right now, just search in Sales Funnel Mastery, and you should find me in there, and then just add it and subscribe to that. That's a good, nice kind of free way to get, you know, a lot of really, really good value. Second way is to go to my website. It's jeremyreeves.com, and it's J-E-R-E-M-Y. R-E-E-V-E-S. And when you go there, I also have a whole bunch of free stuff. I have the report I talked about, the you know, the high cost of cheap copywriters. I have other free reports on there because I test them all the time with paid traffic. And then, you know, when I do that, I just put them on the site for everybody. And then I have information products, I have copy templates, I have a whole kind of product that takes you through my whole funnel. It's actually called the Funnel Formula. very original. and then, you know, of course I have free webinars. I have, obviously the last thing is services. So if you're actually interested in talking and having me, you know, write your copy for you, build these funnels for you, so you don't have to worry about all this, you know, complexity and, you know, kind of just let me handle it, then there's obviously that option. And you'll find them. Just, you know, go to jeremyreeves.com and you'll see right at the top, like, you know, you read like a paragraph and then it's like there's three options. You know, get something free, go to the products, go to services, you know. So it's very, very simple, you know, to go through.
Good stuff, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show today and dropping that knowledge about the sales funnels. And for all of you out there listening, thank you for tuning in as you do and giving us your time and attention. Go check out Jeremy. He's a smart dude, and maybe you'll sell a little bit more. Who knows?
Sounds right. Good. Thanks again, man.
Take care, man.
You too.
You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast, and you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.